This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. The questions are all over the map. Someone wants to invade Cuba and Mexico. Someone wants to know about Joe Biden and the Strategic Oil Reserve. People want to know about Disney and China. Some guy wants to know if he should hit on chicks at an upcoming funeral. Yes, we will address all those and much more on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show here with me, Jesse the Oracle Kelly. Chris, it's part of my name now. Before we get to that, the questions, and I'm going to get to the questions soon because there are so many and we only got 3 hours and I know we got a lot of work to do. I wanted to bring something up. I've been talking about this earlier in the week. I've been talking about it all week long. I've been talking about how odd it is that the American media is all of a sudden piling on Hunter Biden. I mean, even CNN, Washington Post, New York Times. I mean, the filthiest rags in the country. Now they're sounding like conservative news outlets. What's going on? And you remember what I said about it? I said they're ready for Joe Biden to go. The powers that be are ready for Joe Biden to go. And the reasons I've been giving all week long are he's become just simply too much of a liability. He officially hurts the cause more than he helps the cause. And I do believe that is true. That is just my theory. I believe that is true. But do you remember when Andrew Cuomo was going down in New York? I mean, I understand everyone remembers Andrew Cuomo going down in New York, but people don't realize how powerful Andrew Cuomo was at one point. And I'm not talking about in New York, nationally. Remember, there was a national effort to draft this guy to run for president when he was killing all those old people in New York with his coronavirus policies. His family long established. And all of a sudden, it seemed like out of the blue, everybody was piling on him. Everybody had a claim about sexual harassment. Everyone was piling on him. Remember what I said? You probably remember. Life, you're going to have a bad moment. Probably more than one. But inevitably, you're going to have a bad moment. And in that moment, the strength of the safety net beneath you is going to be determined by how you've built it your whole life. And here's what I mean. If you're a good person, maybe in general, you try to give back to others. You don't gossip about people. You find out the neighbor's sick. You're the first one at the front door. Hey, I made you a casserole tonight. Your buddy's up the road. You're driving by him on the way home from work. You're tired and you see he's got a flat. You pull in. Maybe hand him a beer, help him with his flat tire. You're just that type of person. Constantly giving back, constantly helping others, treating people at home, in your neighborhood, at work, with a general amount of respect. When the day comes and you have a bad moment, whether it's your fault, someone else's fault, maybe your hubby runs out on you, your old lady does, maybe you get a DUI, maybe you lose your job, no fault of your, doesn't matter. Maybe you get to a point in your life where you're in a bad way. Diagnosed with cancer, right? Bad way. If you've been that guy dropping off the gal, dropping off that casserole, changing that tire, what you're going to find is when that bad moment comes, yeah, it hurts and you're going to fall a little bit, but you're going to look around and you're going to find all kinds of people there to help. You're going to find your recovery a whole lot easier. Why? Because you've spent a lifetime building that safety net resume of giving back. And remember what I said about Andrew Cuomo? This is a human being who grew up in a majorly powerful political family. His dad was infamously a world-class jerk. And so when you have a world-class jerk father who grows up in the politics of New York, and you and your brother grow up in that environment, you're going to be a world-class jerk too. It's just inevitable. Look, the Cuomos had their reputation for a reason. Threatening people, treat everyone around them like crap. You know, swinging all that power around all the time. That's all fine, right up to the point where you find yourself in a bit of political trouble. And then you don't have any safety net anymore. Why? Because instead of stopping to help that neighbor change the tire, you drove right by the puddle and splattered him on the way by and laughed. You have spent your life treating people like crap. And now that safety net that should be there under you is either non-existent or it's got some big holes in it and you just don't have a chance because now everyone's waiting to pile on the jerk. And I thought about how that relates to Joe Biden and how I guarantee that's what he's going through right now. He's become a political liability. Everyone can see his physical and mental deterioration in front of our eyes. Everyone can see it. Everyone knows. This is a man who walks around with the stiff arm thing, and he doesn't look right, and he can't speak right, and it just he's in a bad way. And that would be one thing, but it's been disastrous policy after disastrous policy after disastrous policy. So now his approval ratings are in the toilet, and his messaging's been terrible. His team is terrible. Remember, Jen Psaki got up and told everybody when they were mad about inflation, just go have a margarita. You can't have those Marie Antoinette let them eat cake moments. Not when people are mad and poor and hurting. You can't have those whoopsies. So not only is he physically and mentally deteriorating, but he's just grossly unpopular policy-wise and the messaging's been all over the place. What do I think is helping the decision to push him out the door? Because just like Andrew Cuomo, Joe Biden has spent a lifetime. There are 30-year-old videos of stuff like this. Joe Biden has spent a lifetime treating everyone around him like crap.
Ask the right questions.
What a stupid son of a...
Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
Go back and read what I said.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
That is an interesting reading of English. You I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
I want to talk about happy things, man.
What do you do all the time?
When did I say I was confident?
You said for the next 6 months.
Let's get it straight.
A lifetime of that. And that, wrap your mind around this. That's what he does on camera in front of other people. Let me tell you something. I've told you this before. The people you watch on television, the people you listen to on the radio, some are genuinely outstanding people. Some of them are. My mentor, Michael Berry. Michael Berry, he's the only reason I do radio. The things he does for other people, like veterans and stuff like that behind the scenes, just it's amazing the things he's done. They've named roads after him because of how much he gives back. Clay and Buck. Clay and Buck's a great example. I hang out with Clay and Buck. Both just good dudes. My wife doesn't like coming to anything political or anything like that. She just likes to go do her own thing. She genuinely enjoys hanging out with Clay and Buck just because they're good dudes. We're all just sit around talking about everything, just good dudes. Sean Hannity. I actually don't know Sean at all.
I've met him one time. I don't know him. Sean Hannity is supposed to be the best dude in the world. Just supposed to be a world-class good dude for how he treats people. That's the exception. The people you listen to, the people you watch on TV, even the ones on your side, they treat people like crap off camera all the time. All the time. Now, that's them. They've managed to at least be nice or appear nice on camera or on the radio. Now, translate that to Joe Biden. If Joe Biden treats people like this on camera, what has Joe Biden spent 30 years treating people like inside the Beltway?
Ask the right questions.
What a stupid son of a...
Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
Go back and read what I said.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
That is an interesting reading of English. You I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
I want to talk about happy things, man.
What do you do all the time?
So, when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said what I said was, let's get it straight.
If you're treating somebody like that as president of the United States of America, 1,000 cameras on you, 1,000 microphones in your face, and that's how you treat people on camera, how has Joe Biden treated people off camera for 30 years? Have you ever heard that audio of Joe Biden scolding somebody about his education level? This is, I think, from the 70s. If not, it's from the 80s. I'll tell you what, we're going to grab that for you. I'm going to play that for you in just a second. Yeah. You want to know another reason Joe's in trouble? He spent a lifetime building that kind of safety net. You look around one day and you're old and feeble and you don't have any friends left. All right, it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now let's talk about something good. Let's talk about Eden Pure, baby. Let's talk about Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I have had air purifiers my entire life. I started getting them when I was 10 years old because we moved to Montana and my allergies would just, it was so bad I wanted to rip my eyeballs out of my head. They helped. I've had very good ones. I've had bad ones, but they helped. I've never had one that caused me to take that over-the-counter allergy medication we all have and throw it in the trash. I don't even own allergy medication anymore. Eden Pure Thunderstorm will do that. It takes the odors out of the air. It kills viruses. It kills mold. And they have a deal for my listeners. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com and you put in the discount code Jesse3, that's Jesse and the number 3, you get a 3-pack for under $200. That's $200 in savings. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of Crazy Train, Chris, let's not forget old Biden's greatest hits from this month.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
You know, maybe he was talking about me, Chris, because I've grown so powerful. What, Chris? Who knows? Actually, maybe he was. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. I'm going to get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions here. I still have to talk about this hilarious thing that happened to Amazon in New York. I'm going to get to all that in a second. But Joe Biden, I believe he's being pushed out. And similar to what I said about Andrew Cuomo when he was being pushed out, yes, there are political reasons. Those are the main reasons. But another part of it is be careful if you build a life's resume of treating people like crap, because people are going to remember that when the tough times come. All of a sudden, if you've treated everyone like crap and you found yourself in the deep end of the pool and you're slipping under the waves, you're going to find a lot of people just want to throw you a brick and laugh at you. Joe Biden has been treating people like this for a very long time.
Ask the right questions.
What a stupid son of a...
Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
Yeah. In case you were wondering, well, Jesse, all those are recent. This is a clip of Joe Biden from 1988.
Question. What
law school did you attend, and where did you place in that class? And the other question is, could you quickly? I think I probably have
a much higher IQ than you do. I suspect. I went to law school on a full.
That's a simple question from a reporter in 1988, and you heard how he responded. Don't think this is a new thing that he just acquired because now he has dementia. Joe Biden has treated people terribly for his entire life, and now that he's old and feeble and weak and politically unpopular, there are a lot of people happy to throw him that brick in the deep end. Well, one thing Chris and I did find that was funny when we were looking through the audio is he goes on in that interview from 1988 and had some interesting things to say about future candidate Joe Biden.
Do you know what I find kind of interesting? It seems to me if you can speak, you're at a liability in the Democratic Party anymore.
There's Joe setting himself up for the future. All right. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's get to some questions here. Dr. Jesse. By the way, I should note. I realize we get a bunch of new listeners to the show, so I'm actually not a doctor per se. I'm very similar to a doctor. Doctors go to college for like 97 years. I went to a very prestigious community college out in Arizona for almost 3 years, and allow me to just say, if I didn't have to drop algebra a couple times, I would have at least an associate's degree right now. So in a way, we're both doctors, all right? But on Friday, I play Dr. Jesse and I answer questions. Dr. Jesse, so Biden releases oil that the taxpayers paid for so the taxpayers can buy it back. Do I have that correct? Says I can say his name. His name is Mike from Long Island. Hold on a second, Mike. Hold on, you know what? Forget about Mike from Long Island. Anyone on Long Island, anyone listening right now who's complaining about gas prices, Jesse, I can't afford gas prices. Listen, stop whining and just go buy an electric car.
I mean, under my plan, which is before the Congress now, we can take advantage of the next generation of electric vehicles that a typical driver will save about $80 a month from not having to pay gas at the pump.
Yeah, what's your problem? If you can't afford $5, $6 a gallon gas, just go spend $60,000 on a Tesla. Look, Chris looked into it. You can finance them. Just going to cost you $1,000 a month. You've got that, right? I mean, who doesn't have an extra grand laying around every single month? Look, I brought this up yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up again because I want to make sure everyone obviously understands this. The Democrats, remember. It is amazing that more hasn't been done on the Republican side to bring this up. We have Democrats. I've played it for you on the show. Chris dug it up for us when Barack Obama was president or running for president. I forget when Barack Obama was sitting down with somebody and he just said right there, hey, under my system, a cap and trade system, energy prices are going to skyrocket. But I don't just want to pick on Obama. I want energy prices to rise has been a public Democrat Party platform for some time now, for years, they've campaigned on it. Even now with energy prices, gas prices, just prices going through the roof. Even now they let the mask slip real quick and they come out and say, it's kind of a good thing.
This crisis also presents an opportunity. It's a catalyst that will drive the investments we need to double down on our clean energy goals and accelerate progress.
It's an opportunity. It's not about you and your family and getting crushed. It's an opportunity. What's your problem? It's an opportunity. Can't you see it that way? You have the Obama clip again. Listen, this is years ago. This is not hidden audio that Chris and I found from some spy agency. This is Barack Obama on camera saying it.
You know, under my plan of a cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket, even, you know, regardless of what I say about.
They've been campaigning on high gas and energy prices for years now. Now that we have gas and energy prices, they would love it if you would forget about that and forget that they had said that all this time. But what's happening right now with gas and energy prices? It's hard to accept because you're not a terrible person. So it's very, very hard to accept. They're thrilled. They're not having brownouts and blackouts in Washington, D.C. They're not having trouble filling up their Priuses. They're not missing any paychecks. I mean, let's be honest. Inflation is hitting everybody. If you're some Washington, D.C. bureaucrat who makes $300,000-$400,000 a year, your husband or wife probably makes the same at some jerkwater law firm back there. You're not really feeling inflation. You can see the price changes, but you're fine. They're not upset even a little bit about gas prices. Their only concern is that you might blame them for it. So they're going to try to temporarily ease the pain at the pump right until the midterms. Why do you think Joe Biden is releasing gas, releasing things from the Strategic Oil Reserve right up until the midterm election? 6 months, he announced it yesterday. Why do you think that is? All right, it is time. Should we invade Mexico? Hang on. She could have called to let me know. It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Look, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you missed it, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Joe Biden, yes, I believe he's getting run out of office. I believe the powers that be are done with him. They decided he's a liability, and all that's really what's getting him. But I guarantee you a part of it is Joe Biden has spent 30 years treating everyone around him like crap. And when you do that, when you treat everyone around you like crap, you remove any safety net underneath you whenever the time comes that you fall. It's a saying as old as time. Be careful how you treat people when you're on top. I think the saying goes, you may meet them again when you're on the way down and they're on the way up. These stories have happened in the corporate world, the sports world. The CEO, the big shot, treats the mailroom guy, the new intern guy like crap. Hey, come shine my shoes, loser. Oops, turns out that guy you were treating like crap is smart and ambitious, and he takes over one day, and the first thing he does is fire you. Be very, very careful how you treat people. You treat people like this for over 30 years. When the time comes that you can't speak, you can't think, you can't function, and you're not popular, you're not going to have very many friends left.
Ask the right questions.
What a stupid son of a...
Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
Go back and read what I said.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
That is an interesting reading of English. You I assume you got into journalism because you like to write.
I want to talk about happy things, man.
What? What the hell? What do you do all
the
time? So, when did I say I was
confident?
I said, let's get it straight.
That's just in the last year. All right, back to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Oh, I do have to bring this up real quick. I have to be honest. Look, I need to be clear. I'm a bad person. Everyone knows this by now. I mean, everybody knows it. This is well known. I've never said I was anything other than a bad person. So I don't want you to be like me. However, as a bad person, when I see terrible things happening to my enemies, I laugh and I cheer. I saw this today from the New York Post. Amazon's New York City warehouse workers will become the first in the United States of America to unionize. Amazon workers at a warehouse in New York City borough of Staten Island became the Seattle-based web giant's first unionized U.S. workers after winning a historic vote on Friday. Vote came out, blah, 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 blah. Look, long story short, here's how I think this is going to go. I think Amazon is almost undoubtedly simply going to fire everybody and demo the building, and there will no longer be a warehouse. That's generally how these unionization things go when you're dealing with probably the most powerful company in the world. But at least temporarily, I know I'm on the right and I'm supposed to be against unions. Unions mostly are trash. But I grew up, you know, in construction. When I think about unions, I don't always think about some scumbag teachers union out there. You know, I think about pipe fitters and steel workers and things like that. And those guys are very much not trash. But setting that aside, if this is going to hurt Amazon, Well, then I'm all for it. I don't care how it hurts Amazon. Oh, but Jesse, it's a union. I don't care. Go hurt Amazon. Amazon's terrible. Jeff Bezos is awful. His ex-wife might even be worse. These people are terrible people. I'm done with this thing that the right has done forever, where as long as it's a corporation of some kind, I have to act like I'm pro-corporation. I don't know about you. I look around and I see corporations everywhere that hate my freaking guts. If we're going to be enemies, if you're going to declare me to be the enemy, fine, corporations, then you're the enemy too. If any country, this is an email, if any country with a more powerful military can overtake a weaker neighboring country, why can't we take Cuba and also annex the northern one-third of Mexico? Now, this may sound like a ridiculous question to you. I like to think about these questions. Because let me ask you something. Let's set this aside for a moment. That specific question. We will come back to it. Let me ask you something philosophically. Is conquest evil? Chris says no. Michael says no. I tend to agree. But, I mean, we're three dudes. Maybe we're a minority opinion there. Do you think conquest, all conquest, is evil? Maybe you do. Maybe you think that you should never expand beyond your borders. Wherever you are is where you should stay. No matter what the provocation is, you should never invade another country. I mean, you could go back to greatest conqueror of all time, Genghis Khan. He shouldn't have done what he done. He shouldn't have attacked the Middle Eastern Empire of the Khwarizmian Shah. Okay, well, the Khwarizmian Shah had a governor who killed Genghis Khan's envoys and then basically tortured the second set that Genghis Khan sent him and stole his goods. Genghis Khan should have done what about that? All right, but set that aside. Let's talk about this specifically, because this is something, especially Americans, because we like to think of ourselves as, and I'm not insulting us, this is not a bad thing. We like to think of ourselves as, I don't know, gentler might be the right word. The right way. The golden rule. More Judeo-Christian based. You know, right and wrong. That kind of thing. Like, we like to think of ourselves that way. Oh, I would never hurt these people. I would never do that. Okay, so let's just deal with Cuba. We'll deal with Mexico later. Let's deal with Cuba. Cuban people are awesome, if you've ever gotten to know one, by the way. Well, that's not universal, obviously. I'm sure there's a lot of scumbags in Cuba, but I have a lot of friends that are Cuban that I was in the Marines with. They can't speak English to save their lives, but daggone, they were really, really good dudes. Really, really good dudes. And I just, Cuban people, Cuban music, Cubans are awesome. But setting that aside, let's talk about the people in Cuba. Not all the rest of them that went to Miami. Let's talk about the ones in Cuba. They're living under a communist regime and have for their entire lives, the Castro family, the Castro crime family, basically. Do you think they would like to live under the United States of America's government instead? Of course they would. Okay, so that's easy. That's an easy part of the question. Now let me ask you the hard part of the question. How much should we do to make sure they can live under the United States of America's government? Because in a vacuum, yeah, if we could snap our fingers and bring them in, that'd be better for those people. You're right, it would. Okay, well, we can't do that. Okay, well, let's just do a little bit and let's just try to kill the leadership and then we'll bring them in. Okay, we've tried to kill their leadership for a long time. We tried to kill Castro forever. Couldn't. It's not like the movies where you can just drop James Bond in from 30,000 feet and he'll put an exploding pen in Castro's he'll put an exploding pen in Castro's shirt and then it'll blow up and then it'll sweep up Castro's girlfriend, throw her over his shoulder and he'll fly off on a private jet. That's not how it works. We tried to remove the government. Okay, so we tried to do that. We couldn't do that. So do you still want the Cuban people to be free and live under the United States of America? Well, if you do, then you're going to have to kill some of them. And you're going to have to decide for yourself whether you're okay with that. Because it's going to involve fighter jets. It's going to involve probably naval blockades, big bombs, maybe bombs dropping on cities, places where women and children live. You see, I ask the question because I don't know that there's a right answer. Are you pro or anti-conquest? And you know what? I know this is an off-topic thing. It's my show. I don't care. Well, I'm not done with this yet. We're going to talk about this. What is right and what is wrong? Let's talk about it. I'll tell you something I definitely know is wrong. The fact that inflation means nobody can afford anything right now. The fact that, have you seen the steak prices? I mean, a lot of people bring up ground beef right now, and I know that's really, really bad. But have you tried to buy a ribeye in the store? Went to the grocery store last night and tried to buy a ribeye, and I just said, hot dogs are fine. Call Oxford Gold Group, please. I can guarantee you this. Inflation's not about to get better next month. They're still spending like drunken sailors. Call Oxford Gold Group and get some real gold delivered to your front door. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. They will take special care of you, okay? 833-995-GOLD, Oxford Gold Group. I've sent my own father there. They couldn't be more laid back and easy. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. But look, again, New York City Amazon warehouse chooses to unionize. Amazon won't even return the New York Post's calls for comment, so obviously they're not thrilled about it. And I know since I'm on the right, I'm supposed to say, no, screw those unions. Screw Amazon. I'm done fighting for the people who hate my guts. I'm done with it. But back to the question. There was an Ask Dr. Jesse question about should we take over Cuba? Because we could take over Cuba, and he asked about northern Mexico. And the normal American way of thinking, and a lot of this is because of our repulsive education system, is all conquest is bad. The Europeans came here and conquered North America, and that's bad. Is it? Is it always bad? Because conquest is also the nature of man. It has never stopped. It will never stop. It's always bad. Do you have any idea what happened after the French took over Indochina? Indochina, just think about that as Vietnam, Cambodia, all those places. You know what happened after the French took over? Oh, those evil colonizers coming in and enforcing their will. Birth rates went through the roof. People lived decades longer. I believe the average person went up, I think it was 21 years. That was how much longer you lived. Let's stop this childlike notion that all conquest is evil. In the long run, maybe we should have taken over Cuba. Be a lot of Cuban people right now living under the land of the free instead of under the scumbags who currently run that country. Maybe we should have. Maybe it's worth some bombs. Chris, you have that clip from Life of Brian. It's so true.
Hey. They take everything we had, and not just from us, from our fathers, and from our fathers' fathers. And what have they ever given us in return?
The aqueduct? What? The aqueduct?
Oh, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and the sanitation are two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without saying, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation. Medicine.
Huh? Education. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah, that's something we've really missed, Reg, if the Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system, and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace?
Oh, peace! Shut up!
Look, and that's not me defending all colonization. Obviously, some of it's terrible. Like when you look at things like what Belgium did to Congo. I mean, that's terrible. Treated people like cattle. But let's stop with this childlike notion that gets pushed out there today all over our education system from the earliest days. Conquest is evil. Oh, conquest is evil. Not necessarily. I'm sorry. I don't buy that at all. Dear Shogun Oracle, with the Disney videos you've played about the large percentage of characters that will be LGBT and China's strong stance about only having masculine characters in their entertainment, please help make sense of this for me. Are they willing to lose that much money to groom our kids? If so, it's even worse than I thought. Okay, let's just play this right now. This is LaToya Ravenow. I played this earlier this week in case you want to know what he's talking about. I played this earlier this week. This is one of the people making the things your child watches.
I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like, maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess, like, something must have happened in the last, like they were turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that, like, momentum that I felt, like, that sense of, I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss. Let's, in the background, this, like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
It's so excited. I get to add all my queerness. Okay, so the question is about China. And look, that's one of the nicer ones. I could, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll do it to you. I could play Carrie Burke, the Disney president, again, talking about her transsexual and pansexual children. I'm not making that up. And then at the end of the video, she actually gets misty. Her eyes start tearing up at excitement about putting these things in the Disney movies and shows your child watches. And so the question is about, how does Disney merge this with China? And I get this a lot. I've been hearing this question a lot all week of, Jesse, I don't understand. I don't understand why Disney would do this and then still do business with countries where homosexuality is banned. Jesse, I don't understand why Disney would do this, but then do so much business in China. There's a two-part answer to it. And I don't know whether to say one of them's good and one of them's bad. But both parts of this answer are very true. Do you want to know how America's corporate world, companies like Disney and Nike and Hollywood, do you want to know how and why they navigate that line? I'm going to explain why in just a second. Before we get to that, though, jesse@jessekellyshow.com is the email address. Yes, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email your questions during the show. They don't get lost. I swear we don't throw them away. If we don't get to them this week, they still don't get tossed. We still have stacks and stacks of them from previous weeks out there. Email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right. Disney, Nike, why do they hate us here, but they're doing something different in China? Two-part question. I'll answer it in a second. Just to get a glimpse beyond this
illusion. You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.